Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Mike Bidwell. How are you, Mike?
Very well, Robert. Thank you.
And Mike is the president and CEO of Neighbourly. Many people know the name, some don't. However, you know many of their brands. They have 26 major service brands. Talk about the concept of Neighbourly.
Sure. Neighbourly is an aggregator of home service brands. Most of them are franchised. We cover things around repair, maintain, and enhance for homes and properties. Some of the brands that you may be aware of is Mr. Reuter Plumbing, Molly Maid, a five-star painting. So we like to say we cover everything from painting to plumbing and everything in between.
And you just came out with a new mobile app.
We did. It's an important part of our future. For nearly 40 years, we've been in the franchising space of franchising home services businesses. We help people get into business. We support small business to provide exceptional service to homeowners. And then along the way, we've started more of those brands, and we've acquired some brands. Today, we have 26. But today, what we want to do is create a marketplace for home services in Neighbourly.com and our mobile app, where customers, if they're doing business with one of our brands, they can find all of our other brands. You see, if they're doing business with one of our brands, they're probably outsourcing other home services as well. And we want them to be our brands. The app will be an important part of that.
So what you have really is the word synergy. You've almost coined the market in the home business area of the word synergy. Talk about exactly what you're doing. And then I want you to go into something amazing, which is your culture and the COV, or code of values.
What we're doing is delivering home services to people's home and businesses, but primarily homes. And you've got to have the service capacity to do that. We wanted to create a national brand, a marketplace for home services, but you've got to be able to control that experience to do it well. So we spent 40 years gathering up the service capacity across all those brands. We focus on providing a premium experience to homeowners, and now we're leveraging that experience to extend the brands from one customer to the other. And we want to create a very sticky relationship for homeowners. Most homeowners struggle to find trusted, vetted service providers, and that's what our marketplace will do for us.
So it is a really interesting model. Share some historical context to how this emerged.
Well, the company was founded 40 years ago, and we started with one brand providing services into people's homes, primarily carpet cleaning. From there, we started up a few more brands and acquired a couple of small brands. First 30, 35 years, we ended up with six or seven brands. We learned how to be a multi-brand franchisor. We started to get some scale in the category. We created efficiencies by shared services and extending intellectual capital across the brands, staying very disciplined to be in our sandbox of repair, maintain, and enhance. And from there, we decided, as the marketplace was changing, if you look back about 8 years ago or so, when lots of commerce was going online, everything was being Uberized, and you know, Amazon was really spreading out its tentacles, we thought that people would want to shop online for home services. And there wasn't a good solution for people to go to a marketplace for home services. And we thought we were better positioned than anyone else because we own these seven brands that we could leverage. But we also decided two things. First, we need a consumer-facing brand. We didn't have one that would resonate with homeowners and tie the brands together. The other thing, Robert, was we still didn't have enough services. You know, six or seven services verticals wasn't enough. People go to Amazon because they're probably going to find what they're looking for, and it's a frictionless experience. If every time they went, they didn't have what you were looking for, you probably wouldn't go back. So we went on an acquisition binge, and our private equity sponsors were very happy to make capital available because we were able to leverage multiple arbitrage by buying these smaller businesses and rolling them into ours. And that enabled us to execute on the strategy. So we did 19 acquisitions over 7 years. Today, 26 service brands, nobody's got the breadth of brands that we do. So essentially, we spent 4 years of gathering up the service capacity, nearly 5,000 franchises today across those brands, 19 different service verticals. Today, we have enough of what a customer might be looking for as they're looking for help with their home. So we've launched the Neighborly.com marketplace now that we've got the fulfillment. We actually deliver the service. This is very important because when you're doing work in people's homes, you need to be sure you're going to provide a very high experience. We survey every customer to make sure that we have a very high net promoter score. Our brands average 74 to 76, so our position is premium. We really focus on giving people a great experience. And then we introduce them to the other brands. And when we first started this, as we aggregated our databases across our POS systems, our cross-sell, our repeat customer rate across brands was 1.7%. 1.7% of our customers had done business with more than one of our brands in the prior 3 years. And so we knew we had a huge opportunity there. Today, we're $3 billion in system sales, but we operate in a $250 billion sandbox because we're in so many service verticals. So it's a huge opportunity. So we just want to extend those customers from brand to brand to brand and also create a very sticky relationship with the customer, with the brands we already have. So that's where we're headed. Historically been a franchisor of home services, then a category leader in our space, the largest in our space. But now we're transforming, and ultimately, we want to become a household name and be known as a marketplace for home services.
So you had significant co-branding, and you had 26 brands now, but you have a lot of franchise owners who are used to doing things a certain way. How did you engage them to become involved with this?
Very carefully and very thoughtfully. Franchise owners are very prideful, as they should be. They're very protective of the brand. They've been spending their local marketing dollars for, you know, maybe 10, 15 years, however long they've been in business, building a brand in their local market. And they're very protective of that, as we want them to be. But we showed them the data. We painted the vision for them. We talked about parallels. Look what's happened in the product space. We think this is going to happen in the service space. We did some research. We shared the research with the franchise owners. Said, look, consumers want this. They want a destination for home services. They want to shop online. They want to schedule online. They want to chat with you. So sharing all that information with them, and then also doing some lots of small pilots, and then sharing that data with those franchise owners and getting franchise advocates that are their peers. And it was about a 3 or 4 year transition. Initially, we had some people that got it, completely get it, were on board. You had the wait and see, and you had the people that were absolutely opposed. But that latter group is a very small percentage today. Everyone's pretty much come along now.
You and I have spoken before about challenges you faced and in terms of being collaborative and how you overcame them.
Yeah, my style early on was very, I don't want to say autocratic, but very involved, and maybe everything did kind of go over my desk. And there wasn't much that went on around the business that I didn't know about or wanted to approve or just make sure it was okay. And we did an acquisition of a glass business that was a pretty large operation. And at that time, we only had 150 employees. We were a franchisor. And while we had a lot of franchises, the corporate office, it doesn't take a tremendous number of staff to support those owners. Well, we did this acquisition, and overnight we went from 150 employees to 1,650. And we had operations all over the country that we didn't have before. And there were a lot of dynamics around this business. We were integrating it with one of our other brands. Lots of moving parts. We were selling stores to franchise owners, and we were closing stores and combining stores. And I remember that we were having daily meetings while this was going on, and I remember at one point offering up in the meeting saying, you know, I don't know what's going on over here anymore, and I don't know what's happening over here. And it was kind of embarrassing. It was almost like an admission of, being inadequate, that you couldn't keep up. And it was interesting, the other people around the table that put their hand up and said, you know, I don't either. And what I learned is you have to trust that there's this person over here doing their part, and this person's got that part. And it was all getting done. And I realized at that point that I was going to be a choke point if we were going to continue to grow and spread out. And it was a really pivotal moment for me. And I would say from that point on, I became very collaborative and trusting, and realized that to scale, we were going to have leaders doing their part and set up some mechanisms to keep each other informed and just check in on results.
It's a great story. Many people have gone through. Unfortunately, not everyone has, but it's a terrific learning lesson. We're about to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about something that impacts all of us, and maybe you'll get some ideas. The supply chain. Back in a few.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. So, this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information, or instant payment. Email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're with Mike Bidwell, who is the president and CEO of Neighborly. This is a consortium of 26 major service organizations, mostly related all towards the home. So I want to go into something, supply chain. Everyone's dealing with it, and you just have so many people in so many services. Not all of them deal deeply with supply chains, but some do. What have you learned about where we're at in supply chain right now?
Well, it's an issue. Fortunately for many of our brands, we're not product heavy because we're repairing or maintaining or cleaning something. But some of the brands we are. Our glass business, we're getting windshields is an issue. Shower doors, everything slowed down there. Wood for our glide out, custom glide out shelving, and everything has delivery times have slowed down and prices have gone up, Robert. So in the glass business, we've had several price increases this year alone. So that has been an issue. Fortunately, we're managing it okay, but jobs are taking longer to schedule out. Customers are having to wait a bit longer, and they're paying a bit more. And then one issue that all of our brands are having is with service vehicles. We're in the business of going to people's homes to take care of something, and we need service vehicles to do that. They're really hard to get right now. It's a very unusual time.
So based on that, how do you manage expectations of the customers when you have everything in place? But you can't deliver on everything because of these supply chain issues. And that's not for most of yours, because a lot of yours are service, but in terms of the trucks, the glass.
Yeah, we communicate a lot with the customer. Just be very open and let them know where it's at. Maybe they've heard about these supply chain issues, but we let them know where we used to be able to get these products in say 10 days. Now it might be 20 days or 30 days, sometimes longer. And then keep them updated. As the date's getting close and we know that it's not going to arrive in time, we call the customer proactively and just let them know. Communication is so important.
Absolutely, communication. Do you have any advice to CEOs who are maybe, if you were a CEO that was dealing with all these issues, you've talked about communication, any advice on supply chain and the future that you would give to any CEOs?
Well, you just have to be aware of where you're sourcing your products from and have options. I think that's on people's radar screen more than ever before. Think about if you've got critical parts, do you want it just in time at this point moving forward, or do you want to have a certain amount of buffer stock on things? I don't think we want to get too crazy with that, but I would just say have alternatives is probably more important than ever before.
And is there any leadership lesson that you learned at some point in your life that really codifies what your leadership philosophy is?
It's being more collaborative and inclusive and being able to scale yourself and the business. And how do you do that? It gets back to culture matters. And having like-minded people, understanding how we want to go about what we're doing, I think you have to communicate a lot. We talk a lot about what it is we're building here, where we're going, and then how we want to go about doing that. And that gives people a set of instructions. If they don't know exactly how to do it, at least they understand the objective and what might be out of bounds, what might be the right outcome. And that's worked well for us.
Let's go back. We talked about human. We talked about the culture, the code of values, which is great where you have 150 words to know. And let's go back into technology when you talked about your app. So right now, everything is moving into e-commerce. It's moving into a cashless society in a sense. And you're, in a sense, at the epicenter of a lot of that.
We are. Several years ago, it's probably been 7, 8 years ago now, when shopping online started to become a pretty commonplace thing. We get a little bit warped on time, but it wasn't all that long ago when it was fairly kind of a new phenomenon. But today it's commonplace, and several years ago we could see that service was probably going to follow that. And we wanted to be at the forefront of it. At that time, people would still call for service when they wanted a service provider. They wanted to get somebody on the other end and know that they had a conversation. But we figured it would go online. And as people became more comfortable with technology and shopping for products, it has migrated to service. Today, they want to schedule online. They want to find the service provider online. They want to text as they engage with people. So we took actions several years ago to put ourselves in position to be there. It started with aggregating all those brands, creating a marketplace for home services, creating a new consumer-facing brand for the marketplace with Neighborly.com, and then building the technology. So we had to go out and recruit the talent to build that the websites, the marketplace, and the mobile app, so that customers could engage from any channel that they wanted to engage with. Again, whether that's online, whether it's telephone, whether it's texting or chatting.
In the pandemic, we don't know where the supply chain is going. We're cocooning. We're doing everything. You have a unique position in that you are the central line to the home. Where do you see the supply chain going?
Everything I read and follow, and I spend a lot of time in CEO forums and reading, it will catch up. Supply chain will catch up at some point. So that's where it's going to go. What is going to happen with the home, though, there's this very sticky situation with people using their homes more. Working remote isn't going away. People are going to come back into the offices, but it won't look like it used to. Even for us, we're allowing people to work remotely a couple days a week as we fully repopulate. So people have gotten accustomed to that. Some people will continue to work remote fully. For us, it's really great because it puts more load on the home. That air conditioner is running more. They're using the plumbing more. They're using the appliances more often. So that's all good for us. But the other thing that happens is people need that space to be comfortable. People have busy lives. They get up in the morning. They care for the kids. They go to work. They come home. They make dinner, and they're caring for the children. And they finally get to bed. And then on the weekend, they're trying to catch up with stuff. They tend to overlook some of the things about the home because there's just not enough time in the day to, number one, they don't notice it because they're just too busy. And they're not there. They don't have the time to get it taken care of. That changed during the pandemic. They were there looking at things the entire time, and they're thinking, why are we putting up with this? Why don't we get somebody over here to take care of this? So we've certainly seen some of that, but we believe that that's going to have long legs to it and will continue.
And what is the name of the app, the website, if someone is interested in Neighborly?
Neighborly.com. And they can find the app if you go into the App Store, whether it's for Android or Apple, iTunes. You can, at the Apple App Store, you can download it by just searching for Neighborly.
And there you have it. Mike, a real pleasure speaking with you. And much continued success.
Thank you, Robert.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Greece, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Dr. Gavin Finn, who is the president and CEO of Kaon Interactive. How are you, Gavin?
I'm doing very well, Robert. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Well, pleasure to have you back.
And let's start talking about Kaon Interactive. You really pioneered the entire area of 3D customer interaction. Talk about what that is.
What we really discovered was that there's a tremendous amount of complexity in most B2B companies' products and solutions. And this has started to become more prevalent now as complexity in the buying ecosystems has really increased. So what we realized was that there was really an important element of conveying differentiation that became much more difficult the more complexity was layered in. So what we've done is we've created an interactive platform that allows very complex solution stories to be conveyed in a very simple way. And this interactive 3D experience is something that creates sort of three levels of connection with people. One is an intellectual knowledge transfer. You learn something interesting and important and relevant. The second is it's multi-sensory. You're not only sitting and watching and listening, but you're actually interacting and you're touching and feeling and participating. And then the last one is there's an emotional connection when you're involved in these 3D experiences. And what happens when those three connections happen is you form very strong synaptic connections in your brain, which means you remember important things. So it's very effective for companies that have complex solutions. And what we've been able to see is this, as you said, sort of pioneering technology infrastructure has really had a behavioral impact that's been transformative for a lot of large organizations.
So what you're doing, in a sense, is you're taking the complex sales process, like say like with an IBM, for example, but you're simplifying it and you're turning it into all of the senses so people get to viscerally understand what's happening.
That's really important. And that point you just made is something that B2C marketers have known for a long time, which is that connection on a visceral level is a really important part of the way that people connect emotionally, and that influences their buying decisions. A lot of people forget that when B2B companies make buying decisions, the people that are involved in those decisions also have to form emotional connections. So creating that visceral connection is a very important part of helping all of the constituents in that buying cycle really understand and believe that the decision that they're making is the right one.
So what you're doing, in a sense, is you're putting the whole concept of marketing upside down. Now, you're saying that B2C companies, they understood this for years, but B2B companies are not doing this. So in a sense, the entire concept of how people go to market and interact and sell is completely different. Walk through an example of how this works.
In a typical B2B environment, you would have, from a marketing perspective, messaging going out from the company. Here's our product, here's our solution, and here's some of the key features. And those messages create an awareness in the industry, and that might be done through ads, or it might be done through sponsorships or conferences, seminars, those kinds of things. And then the salespeople bring in that same sort of messaging, but in a very declarative way. They're involved in a sales meeting and they're making a PowerPoint presentation or they're showing a video. And what's happening is they're telling the story. They're telling their prospects. And the way this has really changed is now, instead of telling your message, what B2B companies have learned is it's much more important for the prospect to reveal to themselves, to discover what's important to them on their own. So rather than telling them what they need to know, we've created experiences so that the customer can go on the website, can learn about what's important to them, and then sort of like peeling the layers of an onion, can reveal those things that are important to them and dive into whatever level of detail is important. Even in a sales meeting, rather than telling and presenting, what now happens is it's transformed where the salesperson gives control to the prospects or the customers, and they're the ones interacting and then asking pertinent questions when they come up. So when you say it's turned on its head, really what's transformative here is that the customer has become the power broker in this equation. They are the ones who are now in control, as opposed to the marketer and the salespeople telling the story. And you know, as a consumer, that you're much more likely to pursue something where you're in control, where you're the one making the decisions, where you're deciding whether to go to a different page on the website or to explore something in a live in-person environment, than you are to listen to a company telling you a message. And so this same dynamic is what's really been transformed in the B2B world. These experiences have a consistent message in them, but the way that that message is conveyed is completely opposite from the way that it used to be. And this is across all customer touch points, whether they're online, at a conference, at an online conference, in a webinar, in a sales meeting. In every environment, when the customer is the one doing the discovering, what we've learned from research and science is that the customer actually connects much better. They resonate with the messages that are important to them, and they're the ones who are actually diving into those areas of detail that matter to them, as opposed to listening to the same presentation, no matter who the audience is. So it's much more effective.
In addition to turning marketing upside down, it's turning the customer experience upside down. And I guess it's doing what's been taken and what's been known in B2C world. You've somehow figured out, you've cracked the code how to make this interactive and switch the customer experience in a B2B sense. That's the magic.
You know, it's a really important message for us all in marketing and sales and executive leaders to understand is that the marketing research that had been done in the B2C world for years, talking about the three moments of truth, before you buy a product, as you become aware of it, the buying process itself, and then the actual using of the product, those three moments of truth also apply in the B2B world. So if you think about that, it's all about customer experience. As you're learning about different solutions and products and companies, that experience matters. When you're actually going through the buying process, how you actually acquire the product, how you buy it, and how easy it is, how many options you had, how well it fit with your procurement process, that matters too. And then, of course, how the solution works and how it fits into your problem solving, that matters as well. And if you think about all of that as a customer experience, this is what CEOs really need to pay attention to now, is that entire customer experience. Not just does the product work, but how does the customer become aware of who we are? And how do they interact with our company at every touch point? So that it's not just about the product itself or the solution, it's about every way that they interact with our company and every touch that they have, whether it's with a person or with a digital system of some kind.
So I understand how you do this, like with an Abbott, an IBM, and a Thermo Fisher. How about someone like Amazon is one of your clients, and I'm viewing that as more of a B2C. So where does Kaon play in that world?
Well, the engine that powers the Amazon website is the backbone of what's known as Amazon Web Services. And so Amazon Web Services has actually become the premier cloud system in the world and has really been the pathfinder for how cloud systems are deployed globally across different industries and even with different providers. So what Amazon's Web Services do is they power their own system, but they also power an enormous number of businesses across the globe, from very small companies to very, very large companies. And what Amazon Web Services found was that as a pioneer, they were actually helping to educate the market about what the opportunity was. But now that they've got some very strong competitors, their important marketing imperative is to differentiate. And so differentiating these very complex technical stories is not as simple as one might think, because each key feature only matters to different constituents in the buying cycle, depending on who those buyers are. So they have to tell a very complex technical backbone infrastructure story in a way that matters to different people in the buying process, and whether they're small companies or large companies. So what we've been able to do with Amazon is really help them tell that very complex story in a simple way. It doesn't make the solution less complex. It just makes the way that they tell that complex story simplified and more understandable and digestible.
This is Robert Greese on the CEO Show. We interviewed the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Dr. Gavin Finn, who is the president and CEO of Kaon Interactive. This is the organization that has really pioneered the entire concept of interactive 3D digital experience. We're going to take a commercial break now, but when we come back, we're going to talk about changes in technology and innovation, and we're going to talk about personal challenges and how Gavin's world has changed as CEO since being a CEO for 16 years. Back in a few.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Dr. Gavin Finn, the president and CEO of K-On Interactive. And Gavin, you've told me in the past that there's a lot going on in experimenting and succeeding, and there are nuances there.
You know, what's really interesting about technology innovation is that CIOs and CTOs have built infrastructures in their own organizations to experiment and do pilot projects and figure out how different technologies can solve business line problems or backbone network communications problems. And so for a long time, the technical organizations have built this engine of innovation. Sometimes they're pioneering it themselves within their enterprises, and sometimes they're finding these innovations through third parties. But what's happened in the last few years, and particularly over the last year in 2020, is that organizations outside of the information technology group have had to innovate as well. And what's been fascinating to see is that those organizations did not have that culture of experimentation and innovation and understanding of how to determine which innovations are applied to their business. But it was absolutely imperative as the digital first model became really the only way that they could communicate with clients and operate remotely. They needed to determine which innovations matter to them. So there's two dimensions to this. One is there's technical innovations that are happening in real time, and there's the model of how you absorb and then deploy those innovations in your enterprise. So IT organizations were well set up to do this, but marketing departments, sales departments found it very challenging to figure out how to understand what innovations mattered to them. And then more importantly, how to take those innovations that did work and create an enterprise deployment across their entire organization. Actually, Bain did a study on this subject, and they found that very large organizations are really good at experimentation. They're really bad at deploying the ones that work across their entire organizations. We found this to be true over the last year particularly. So there's all kinds of innovations going on in terms of digital technology, customer communication, augmented reality, virtual reality, artificial intelligence, and all of these are being looked at as sort of pockets of problem-solving capabilities for individual problems by a wide variety of organizations in large enterprises. What really needs to happen, I think, is to say, instead of point solutions, what can we do from an institutional perspective? What can we do from an organization-wide perspective to really advance these so that we see the true benefit of these innovations? And I think the major innovations that have had huge effects over the last year and even before that are the ones that have been able to create a sustained model of innovation throughout their organization so that it's a continuous learning process. One of the things that you and I have talked about in the past is you're never really done with a digital solution. Once you've created it, you're always updating it and you're always modifying it, and it's dynamic based on what's happening in the world. And that's truly the benefit of a digital infrastructure. When you're creating something physical, you build it and it's there. and you have to leave it there for a while to get the return on investment. With a digital infrastructure, you ought to be designing it to be changing all the time. And I think that's a cultural phenomenon that a lot of organizations really need to adopt, is to think about how to continue to innovate rather than just finding something that they can put in place and assuming that it's going to be that way for the next 5 years.
It's interesting what you're talking about, the implementation side. And there's a dynamic between human and machine. And you've been working in this for years. You had at MIT your doctorate, I believe, in 1994 in artificial intelligence, way ahead of what the average bear was thinking there. And so how does it look moving forward?
That's actually the critical differentiator between companies that leapfrog their competitors and others, is their ability to understand the human behavioral aspect of innovation and to blend those with the technologies that are involved. We find that the biggest inhibitors, the largest barriers to sustained innovation, are the people and their resistance to change.
What are the qualities that you believe are lacking in leaders now, that leaders need to move forward successfully?
I think that we have to recognize that we are all part of a community. The more leaders focus on a narrow set of constituents in that community, the less likely they are to create the effect that they could in the broader community. And by that I mean that there's always a set of financial metrics that are important. There's always a set of corporate objectives and strategic initiatives that are important. But I find that a lack of understanding of the human effects of decisions that get made and strategies that get implemented often leads to short-term wins, longer-term negative effects, either for the company itself or for the community that in which they exist. And I see this sometimes when leaders are driven by particularly the financial metrics that are narrowly oriented towards corporate valuation. The shorter term those financial metrics reflect personal incentives, the worse the decisions are. And I do see more and more executives spending time thinking about the human impact of the decisions that they're making. But and I think we're starting to see, for example, there was a tremendous effort to offshore an enormous amount of corporate functions, staff functions, to lower costs. But part of the effect that most people didn't anticipate was the negative effect on customer experience that many times was the result of that. And also, many times we found that entire communities were negatively affected when they didn't have to be. I think there's always a solution that involves bringing all of the parties together, and I believe that thinking about it from the perspective of not necessarily an optimal solution just for the company and the executives, but also for the employees and the constituents around them. So thinking about the financial metrics as a byproduct of delivering value, I think, is long-term thinking that a lot of leaders need to have. And value, by the way, is not just to the shareholders or the employees, it's to all of the constituents. What value can we bring to everybody that's involved?
On that ubiquitous societal message, I want to thank you. It's a pleasure having you on the CEO show. If anyone wants to find out, what is the website?
It's kaon.com, kaon.com.
Great having you on the CEO show, Gavin.
Thank you, Robert. It's wonderful to talk to you again.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.